What's going on, Black Baseball Mixtape family? Flipper Boys here, another edition of In the Booth, kind of just hanging out with all the other content that Black Baseball Mixtape is dropping. It's no signs of stopping, and it feels good to be part of the winning team. Thanks so much for checking out this podcast. Just one slice of what the platform is trying to do. Gotta get a big shout out to Herencia 21, the Players Alliance, and Steel Little Sports for making this show and other shows in the network possible. And look, the best is yet to come. We are going out on the road. We're going to visit some of the games out there this season, and of course some of the best and enlightened conversations from fans and players and coaches and staffs all throughout the baseball landscape. And for me, it's kind of interesting. City Connects are dropping. I'm not sure if you have a top three or top five, or if you're like me, you're having trouble ranking them, but I would love to know what you think. So if you're listening to this right now on whatever platform, drop in and say, hey, what your favorite City Connect platform is. As I record this today in the Discord for Black Baseball Mixtape, we were having that discussion, that very same discussion, like a top three and a one that's like a sleeper pick, or a, yeah, everyone doesn't like this one, but I do. Like, for example, my sleeper pick is the one that's often forgot about. It's Kansas City's. The Royals had a very clean uniform that gets lost in the shuffle between the very hot uniforms and the ones that are hated, I should say. But the KC one was pretty clean. That's my sleeper pick. So what's yours? You let me know. My guest this week is a man that I worked with at my tenure at Spotify a couple of years ago. The show was called The Mac Mania, and there was a professional wrestling-centric show, so we had a little bit of those wrestling references in there. But Brian H. Waters is like the biggest baseball fan that I know. He is also a huge fan of the city of Baltimore, and so of course, it's the Orioles. That's his team. All about the orange and black. Hashtag Birdland, I think it's the hashtag they use. So to be able to get him on the show and just reminisce about old times and talk about his fandom and the players he loved and the video games he played was amazing. And Brian still works in sports media now. He's still at Spotify working on the Ring of Wrestling show or slate of wrestling programming. So I had to ask him even in the course of the episode how must it feel to still do sports media. So you're going to enjoy this one. Shout out to all the Oriole fans out there. I'm trying to have this mission of finding a black fan for every team in Major League Baseball. So if you can point me in the right direction, I would love to know more about these stories. But without further ado, here's my chat with Brian H. Waters. What's going on, Black Baseball Mixtape family, football boys? We're in the booth with a guy who's been in plenty of booths in his career and a lifelong O's fan. We got to talk about that. Get up for Brian H. Waters. What's going on, baby?
What's up, Flo Bo?
What's going on, man? It's been a while, dude.
Yeah, man. You know, I always enjoy creating content with you, but I always enjoy, you know, consuming your content, especially, Black Baseball Mixtape. Shout out to everybody over there. Yeah. It was therapeutic during the playoffs.
Okay.
You know, I came in with such high expectations, even though like it was one of those things, right? It was like high expectations, but like kind of like I had to admit to myself, like, dude, your team is still young. They're all babies. They baby birds. But when you win 101 baseball games, you got to have a sort of, you know, thought that you can maybe do this thing. But nonetheless, you know, but the Black Baseball Mixtape held it down. So that was great.
Oh, yeah, because Cheats is a huge O's fan. You guys are both were commiserating that loss. But your opinion last year with the expanded playoff format, were you thinking the extended layoff was the culprit here, or just because they got outclassed? What was the reason for the O's run?
I think it was just outclassed. You know what I mean? It's just like the same thing in 2014, running into the hottest freaking team. You know, this is like with the Royals that time, this time with the Texas Rangers. And you feel when you're team loses to the eventual champions, if it's not a rivalry, you feel like, okay, you know what, everybody took that beat down. So I don't, you know, because like we put up runs, You know, at one point, I think one game was down 11-3, made it all the way to 11-8, and still lost. I was at game one, my first time ever going to a postseason game.
Oh, the nice. Yeah.
Atmosphere was electric. Shout out to my lady Queen PR, converted her, made her Orioles fan. You know, and you
who
know.
Was she before? Like
Yankees.
Like, that no.
I might get in trouble for revealing that publicly. No, you know what, though? In all fairness, she will say, like, you know, she still gotta love the home team. You know, she's from the Bronx, born and raised. Oh, but man. She said that, you know, that sea of orange. We walked in there, it got her, you know, and she wanted to make sure she captured me having a bucket list moment. And you know, that game was so close. And then everybody was like holding out hope, maybe for a game winning home run. It just didn't happen. So, you know, I don't think it was necessarily a layoff. I just think it was just going against the better team. And I do think things will be different this year. Definitely high expectations. You know, I feel like we got the best player in the league right now, in Gunnar Henderson, one of the best black baseball players in the league. Cedric,
he's your guy. Is Henderson your guy or Mullins your guy?
Well, Henderson is my guy. Mullins is kind of like, you know, he's kind of like the anchor, right? He's been there a while. Of course, you love him and whatnot. But it's like when I look at like the future, if I'm putting, you know, if I'm going to, let's say if I'm going to a party and they say, who you represent, you can put this guy up against anybody, it's Gunnar.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's that. I can't even argue that. I can't, like, well, actually, no, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, because, like, you know, like the 96, 97 teams, like some of my favorite teams of all time, right? Even to the point, if I play MLB The Show and I pick the Orioles, when I'm playing, usually I'll switch the uniforms to those colors. It's just something about that orange. That black lettering with the white jerseys, right? Everybody knows that was the Cal Ripken years, right? But at that time, my guy was Roberto Alomar. You know, that was my guy. Yeah. And then Rafael Palmeiro. Like, Palmeiro was just, like, growing up, just watching him just own that scoreboard, hitting lots of home runs, but also driving in a lot of RBIs. Like, Brady was hitting leadoff and hitting 50 home runs and 26 the next year. But Palmeiro was just driving in runs constantly.
Oh, that's absolutely true. The thing is about MLB The Show, I can't play. I'm a big Mets fan. Can't play as a Mets because if they lose, I get mad. I'm always playing the White Sox or the A's. Okay. I just can't. I can't. And why make my team lose? I feel responsible.
I feel you. It's a game I get every year. I haven't got this year's yet, right? Yeah. But there were some many years that I just couldn't play with the Orioles. Not if I wanted to have fun, you know? And now if I was like, okay, I'm going to dynasty, franchise mode and rebuild the team. Yeah. But there was like, you know, those 100 loss seasons, man, give me the Dodgers. You know?
Right. I'd rather lose to them. What's your take on the Jackson Holiday situation, man? I mean, everyone was saying he was number one guy that brought him up for about 2.5 weeks and had an abysmal record, got sent down as far as recording, man. Was it time? Were you a fan? What's your take on him?
I understood why people wanted him, right? I was working up north in Bristol around the time Chris Bryant made his debut. And I remember everybody kept talking about, oh, yeah, man, we want Bryant. I've worked with a lot of Cubs fans, and they said we want him to stay down in the minors for a few games and then come up because, you know, everybody wanted the service time. So I figured, even though nobody would admit it, I figured that was the case. But him coming up, I thought what I was looking at was, I was like, all right, he could clearly play at this level. He's just having a bad streak, and he's pressing a little bit. And I got a chance to sit in with and listen to Ryan Ripken, former Oriole, come up in the organization. Obviously, the last name, you know, he's third generation, son of Cal, grandson of Cal Sr. And Rick Dempsey, 1983 World Series MVP. And one of the things they said, like, it's just so much that goes on. And he had to get back to the basics. See the ball, hit the ball.
Right.
So I think we as Baltimore fans put a lot of pressure on him, right? I mean, I went to the first game of his Baltimore debut, Flobo, and you know, me, my best friend Hugh, shout out to him, me and him since sixth grade, both of us realized we were baseball fans to the races. We've been tight ever since. And you know, we went to the game with my kids, and every time, and I'm guilty of it, every time Jackson Holiday came to bat, we pulling out our phones, we standing up, everybody wanted to capture that first hit, right? It was also Jackson Holiday t-shirt night. So me, my kids, we all got Jackson Holiday t-shirts. So I felt like it's a 20-year-old kid. at the end of the day, man, if I was 20 years old and you want me to come in and be a crucial part of a franchise that hasn't won a championship in almost 41 years, it's like, whoa, that's a lot of pressure. But I think I like them sending him back down now. Let him go back and dominate. He come back up. It'll be lesser expectations. I think people will be like, oh, Jackson Holiday, and then boom, 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 he's going to be crushing it. So, I'm not mad at the move. I'm not mad at the move either way, to be honest with you. I understand bringing him up, but I also understand sending him back down. Gunner wasn't this bad, but Gunner had to go back down, and then he came back up, and now look at him.
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of times with a lot of rookies, it takes a second or a third tour for it to stick. And everyone's talked about how strong, that's being an understatement, how strong Norfolk is this season. Absolutely smacking around their division. So, I wanted to come back. I do feel like we do need that next wave of young talent that makes people go, man, I'm checking it out. That's my next question. Growing up, we go to barbershops. There was talk about Jeter. I was a Frank Thomas guy. You said you were a fan in the sixth grade, like earlier. Yes, how'd you get into the game? What was your hook? What was your pull?
Man, that's a great question. And, I'm so glad you asked that. I don't get to answer this a lot of times. It was growing up. I remember, you sign up for little league. My mother said, hey, you want to play baseball? So that winter we signed up. I went to a Catholic school. It's now defunct Toronto Little Flower Catholic School, kindergarten to eighth grade. And, they had a baseball team and a soccer team, no basketball, no football. So we went, signed up for baseball. And then my mother was like, well, you want to, study the game and learn it. And we went to this library, Pratt Library. And I picked up a book on Ken Griffey Jr. And I read it, and it was like one of the kids' friendly books. And from that moment on, he became my favorite baseball player. Then I want to say that year, maybe it was that summer or the following summer, there was a Sports Illustrated for Kids magazine.
And
it broke down Ken Griffey Jr.'s swing. And from that moment on, that's when I actually taught myself how to bat left hand. I'm naturally right. So I learned how to become a switch hitter. But I was always a little nervous to do it during the game.
Oh, absolutely.
And it wasn't really till eighth grade. I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to stop playing. I'm doing it at home when I'm just. So when I was a child, one summer I got punished, right? So I couldn't play my video game.
The whole summer?
Yeah.
What'd you do, bro?
Really a month.
Okay.
My mother did daycare, and she had this one girl, shout out to Quinn, who's now like a little sister. But at that time, she was the arch nemesis. And I think I did something to irritate her, and my mother kept telling me, stop, right? So I would take a piece of paper and ball it up, right? Put some rubber bands around it. And you remember the wiffle bat. So I couldn't we couldn't hit a tennis ball. We live in the cul-de-sac. Couldn't hit a tennis ball, and I couldn't hit a wiffle ball. So I would use the paper and put it in a ball. So like the newspaper, ball it up, and just constantly swinging the bat. And then, just throwing it up. And that's what I would do during the after. As soon as it get cool outside, I would go outside and do that. And so I was batting left-handed. And finally, eighth grade, I said, I'm going to do it. And, I got cut in ninth grade. But what was a miscarriage of justice was, one, we only had a varsity team, but I should have at least made the first wave of cuts. Shout out to Mr. Walker if he's still around, because I hit a home run from the left side. And I remember I would always come up right. It was like, okay, cool, next batter up. Then I come up the left side, like, whoa, okay, we will switch it. Boom. And it was like, oh, wait, you had a home run from the left side, And then I played ball in when I was at ESPN, we had an intramural league, and I will always do that. And sometimes I feel like, I didn't remember. They was like, oh, so you're a switch hitter. You think you slick, But it's just growing up that summer as I was a huge wrestling fan, but I started watching the Orioles in 96. 96 was the first year I watched baseball from beginning to end. I started watching it towards the end of 95 and, had the video games. It was World Series Baseball 95 for the Game Gear. But 96 and that was the first year. And it was just every day I could at that time I could wake up and I would read the newspaper. I could tell you who was leading in the league, I knew all the league leaders, almost every team's lineup. I was heavy into the baseball cards, but it just became my favorite sport, even over basketball and football.
Wow, man, that's crazy, because I felt like the mid-90s was so crucial for us, because we were at the beginning of when baseball wasn't cool anymore. But I remember going, because I was a big kid, so I didn't really play like team sports. I did like I did gym units, I did after school, and I was a switch hitter too, but for another reason, because I am naturally left-handed. I didn't really get clowned, so I had to teach myself to bat right, because I didn't want to get made fun of. Weird times up there in Brooklyn. Anyway, but I thought it was interesting, because I felt like as I got older, people my age were in these communities where baseball wasn't talked about. So I got to ask you, was it cool in your neighborhood to play? Or were you kind of the only ones that were about that life, or any in between?
So I was around that time, you know, the neighborhood's starting to get a little rowdy. I'm about 10 years old, around 96. And my parents are like, we don't really want you hanging with the neighborhood kids. But if I went around my cousin's house, they were heavy into basketball. And, you know, but the conversations, like the conversations at church with my friends, was about baseball during that summer. Or even, pretty much at church and at school. And, you know, I went to a predominantly white school. So it was, you know, and everybody loved Cal Ripken at the time. So, you know, naturally, that's what I gravitated to. So I grew up in an environment where it was natural for everybody to like baseball. And, you know, you mentioned guys like Frank Thomas. You know, I was big Frank Thomas. You know, my guys. My guys at that time was Ken Griffey Jr., Frank Thomas, Roberto Alomar, Rafael Palmeiro, Barry Bonds, Tony Gwynn, Barry Larkin. So, like, you know, I gravitated towards black guys. But then, and then obviously, like, the pitchers, with, you know, Randy Johnson, Mike Mussina, Greg Maddux. It was so much fun. And then when I, like, Ken Griffey Jr.'s Win and Run was the first video game that I got for, like, a Super Nintendo. So I'm playing. And at that time, I don't know if you played it, but they didn't have the real names. So me being such a baseball nerd, I could at that time tell you who was who. You know, it was like this guy named Eric Chavez. I was like, oh, that's Rafael Palmeiro. Only person on there was Griffey. And I'm like, he got the license. Why don't you get the players? And then I learned later that my homeboy who had Frank Thomas Big Hurt for PlayStation. They had the real names. And I'm like, why they don't have that on? You know, and then, man, life was changing. When I got triple play baseball, when I first got a PlayStation, and then I was like, oh, wait, they got the real names. And it was based, it's triple play 97 is based off the
97. Okay. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, now we cooking, you know. And I would always like make trades, you know, because I had to take, by being the 95 season, I had to like move some stuff around to get the Orioles the way they were supposed to. But yeah, the Orioles and the Mariners were always my one and two.
I feel like triple play 97 is based on the predecessors of the show, right? It was that series. I think it's that series.
It became Triple Play became MVP. They started
MLB baseball, right.
Yeah, and I had MLB my first one, because my boy Daryl, who I mentioned earlier, had MLB 98, and then the first one I got was 2000. And man, that whole summer I played, like, I wore that game out, and then the following year, 2001.
What was your favorite game of all time? The favorite baseball game of all time?
Ooh.
Because I'm a big MLB 2005 fan. Like, that to me changed. We had LAN parties, which is baseball was already not cool in my time at the college, but we had LAN parties playing MLB baseball, MVP 2005. Had John Dowd. Remember him? Barry Bonds was John Dowd. Like, the only guy who was faking the game. It was great.
Wow. So, man, if I have to go back to classics, it's probably MLB 2000. Okay. You know, just because I spent so much time on it, you know, create people. Another one, see, I didn't. So you're talking MLB 2000. You said MVP 2005, right?
MVP 2005 was the one with like they still have mod groups for that one today.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, All Star Baseball 97 featuring Frank Thomas, the second one. Mm-hmm. Pretty dope. Yeah.
See, I was in the All Star 03, and then I think I jumped over to World Series Baseball 2K. So yeah, 2K4. Yeah, 2K5. So I think when you was playing MVP, I was playing World Series on Xbox. What it was. Yeah. So with Jeter on the cover. So because I was into, remember when the 2K5 games, they was all 1999?
Yeah.
So yeah. And then with the Xbox, you could put the music on. So I had walk up music. So that was my era. So I went from World Series for the next few years, and then I jumped to the show. But I've been on a binge of buying old games again. So, and I think MVP is definitely going to be added, because I gotta really see what that was like.
Well, you do stream live. Do you have the systems that you connect them, or are you using emulators, or using the Delta? Like, how are you?
I'm just using the regular systems.
Oh wow, okay, you're an historian.
Yeah, because I like the feel. So what I did is I bought the adapter to basically make your HDMI webcam. So okay. I would hook the game up. You know, it's like, you know, you hook the AV cables into the adapter, and then the adapter on the other side has an HDMI. Run that through my capture card, and then run it through the computer.
Wow, man, the man's about his business. I like that, man. Because I mean, you're a content creator, man. That's literally your day job and your side job. Like, there's like three of the 20 jobs you have is the content creation, man. And you stuck in the sports lane. So tell me about that. That must be a cool idea to be able to still do sports and do content which you love and still do it professionally.
Yeah, man, you know, it's definitely a blessing I'll never take for granted. You know what I mean? You know, the wrestling realm was essentially created by me and my brother, the real Dwayne Allen, while we was in college. We was at Morgan State University, and both of us realized we both had a love for professional wrestling. We said, you know what? I had a show with my cousin, but he kept getting into trouble, so it didn't really work out. And I was doing just content by myself, and I was like, oh, this is the guy right here. And we ended up using this as an avenue. Everything we was learning in the classroom, we was applying right away. And it really helped us get the respect of a lot of teachers, because especially at that time, Morgan State really wasn't putting out a lot of people who was very successful in the business. I'm just, you know, not dropping any pipe bombs here, but just, you know, a lot of people would, you know, go to college, get their degree, and then go do something else. You may have had a couple people who worked in production, but it was a lot of people who wasn't, you know. And we were there doing a transition of the department, and then here comes the new you know, head of the department. He changed the whole thing, shout out to Dwayne Wickham. And one of the things, you know, we had his respect because we was willing to put in the work, but also work in our passion. Like, so okay, you the wrestling guys, but wait, y'all actually have a show. You put together a show. It wasn't a thing where it's like, okay, this is what I want to do. And then the teacher's like, so what are you doing now? Well, you know, I'm just trying to figure it out. Nah, we was hustling, man, you know, and that just opened up so many opportunities.
It is kind of funny how, not funny, it's interesting how that there is a community there, especially at our city centric. Like you and I have a mutual friend, Daryl Wharton. I went to grad school with Daryl.
Yeah.
And after he graduated, I was like, what are you doing next? He goes, oh, I'm going to go back to Baltimore to teach. I'm like, back? Why? No offense to your city. No offense to your city at all. But I was like, why'd you do that? But like, that was like a sense of duty for my man to go back and give back to that whole community, which is pretty cool, man.
And you know, the thing, man, shout out to him, because I don't get a chance to brag about him a lot. But I learned I wasn't a film major, but I took the classes like, okay, you need some electives. All right, well, film, I can learn a different side on a different way of editing. And he really taught me the importance of post-production as far as the attention to detail. He would take, I don't want to ruin anybody's thought process or certain favorite movies, but he would take movie by famous directors and stuff and show us every little details. Like, okay, they didn't have a script supervisor because this went wrong and that went wrong. And he also challenged us, like, you know, when I told him we had this one fun project, he said we had to like write a movie script and then, you know, direct it. We had to get actors. And I told him I wanted to do one on the essence of me having a wrestling talk show with my cousin. I basically made a parody of the whole story of, and you know, I had a lot of creative liberties. And he was like, go all the way with it. You know what I mean? He was like, he really encouraged people. And there's quite a few people, like, we're still Facebook friends, him and I, but there's people also on Facebook friends who was in my class with him that are very successful. And so, you know, he was amazing. And he's a Baltimore City College graduate, the same high school I went to.
I'm shaking my head because, and when we were in grad school, I edited his thesis film and we argued all the time. I was like, Darryl, I need coverage. We got coverage. No, we don't, Darryl. Like, I was just... Oh, that's funny. But small world. Okay, so I gotta ask you a question, because we're seeing a lot more content creators in the baseball space, and I guess I'm one of it too. I kind of got roped back into it. It was kind of cool to be able to cover things that I love doing it. But is baseball as it is right now in 2024 cool? Why or why not?
Flobo, when you ask that question, you know, there's a certain quote from a guy that, you know, from in the world that we also live in, the wrestling world, when The Rock said, pro wrestling is cool again. Baseball is getting cool again, you know? And it may be easier for me to see that because my team is doing well. And Baltimore is the type of city that when the Orioles are good, it's a fun place to be during the summer. It's great to see that Baltimore realizes we have two teams. Like, when the Ravens are bad, people still going to flock, and they still going to wear the purple. When the Orioles were bad during, you know, from, what, 98 to 2011, give or take a couple of years where they gave some pump fakes, you know, people tend to forget, like, we have a baseball team, unless you were diehard, right? You wouldn't even see any marketing. You go downtown, you wouldn't see flyers up. And then when Jones and Machado and all of them kind of, like, faded out, and there was a time where, yeah, we had Trey Mancini, but that was it, you know? And you didn't see the Orioles stuff all over the place. But now you're starting to see Mullins, Rutschman, Gunner, Santander. You're starting to see all types of cool stuff with their faces around. So, yeah, but even outside, like, just being on Twitter sometimes, I think between the content creators, the way people have found ways to, like, make, show that the fun parts of baseball, like when a home run is hit or when there's a fight or a brawl, we start to see more stuff on social media. I remember there was a time when you would make a baseball tweet and it would get nothing, but now it's starting to seem that way again.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong, man. It does feel like a different kind of vibe and energy. I got back into baseball. Well, I was always into it as a kid, and of course, I never paid for cable my entire life, so I have it. But I got into it about 10 years ago because as my dad was getting older, I was like, "Well, how can I connect with him on a level that is not about algorithms or YouTube views, right? It's about the actual sport and game." So it's kind of cool that I can take him out to a game, and we don't feel weird or anything like that. But we gotta wrap this up. I got one more question for you, and I need your really biased opinion. Is it true though that Camden Yards is still a top tier baseball park? Or other things come over and eclipsed it?
Oh, it's still a top 10 park. It's number one, baby.
Number one.
Number one. It's just
blueprint.
You walk there, you get a good view. You know, we got this new hot dog. If you're a hot dog fan, we got Jimmy Seafood. We got crab fries. You know, come on. We got with the mac and cheese hot dog, the crab with the crab meat on it, you know, but just, like I said, the beautiful view of Baltimore, the warehouse, you know, everybody wants to see somebody hit the warehouse. You know, it's been hit like once or twice, you know, shout out to Ken Griffey Jr. doing a home run derby. You know, then you got that walk on Utah Street. You go there, no matter if you're a fan of the Orioles or somebody else, you're going to see the ball on the ground where maybe a Yankee, maybe a Cleveland Guardian, somebody hit and their ball landed right there. There's a plaque for it. So yes, though, it's up there. We brought this modern era of ballparks in, and we still stand as the top.
Wow. I can't knock that. I'm allergic to shellfish, but I will get a chicken box next time I go to Baltimore. My first time in Baltimore. I gotta do a hit it up, but man, Brian, this is great because not only get to connect with as baseball fans, man, it's always great to see you thrive and make
likewise,
it happen,
brother. Man.
You know, like you keep shining. But if someone wants to connect with you or see the Wrestling Realm or any of your baseball content, how to go about doing that?
Just at Brian H. Waters. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You can follow me there. Threads, you know, I try to thread a little bit. You know, Threads kind of fading away, you know, but I'm trying to stay on, you know.
Yeah. Where do the Orioles finish the season? And division second, third, when what?
Number one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know,
the confident number one.
We got Kyle Bradish coming back. We got John Means coming back. Cole Irvin is pitching pretty good. So either he's and then Suarez, you know, he had a little got touched up a little bit, but he's been solid. Put him back in the bullpen.
Right, you got Juan Soto in New York. You got Vladdy coming back. You got Randy coming back to form, and you're still thinking Baltimore's going to win the division.
Yeah, because if we can strike those guys out, you know. Now I'm also saying this as we are about less than a few hours away from playing the Yankees. But you know, we're in a series that I'm honestly pulling for just a split. But I mean, hey, sometimes you know, last year I was hoping for a split against the Rays, and we ended up winning 3-1. And there was another series I think we swept in a four-game series. So, you know, but the thing about this team is they're hungry. And the thing about my catcher, shout out to Adley Rutschman, is that he builds relationships with his pitchers. And he gives them good hugs. And he lets them know. And it's a reason that as long as Rutschman has been here, we haven't been swept.
My man's preaching right now. Brian H. Waters, this is In the Booth, blackbaseballmixtape.com. Football boy saying peace out.